Welcome to Long Live the Music, a podcast from It's All Dead, made by music fans for music fans. I'm Kyle Hawk. Welcome to Long Live the Music. I'm Kyle Hawk, editor-in-chief at itsalldead.com, and I am joined by fellow It's All Dead writer and podcaster, Nadia Alves. Nadia, welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Well, we're back. We're staying on the horse. Is that what it is? Staying on the wagon? I don't know. We've already fallen off the wagon just a few seconds into this, but here we are. It's a podcast about music, and I'd been wanting to do this particular episode for quite a while, and it just never, I don't know, there was never a good time to do it. I don't know how to explain that, but it was always like we had other things to talk about, or there were other ideas, but this time, it felt like the right time. So if you've come to It's All Dead for a while, or listened to this podcast for a while, you're probably aware of our enjoyment of the record label Tooth and Nail Records. I mean, I've written more about Under Oath than probably any other band on our website. Nadia and I have talked about Anne Berlin and Emery ad nauseum. We've had MXPX on the show. We've had Emery on the show. Two of our biggest or most visited articles of all time at It's All Dead are a list of the best Tooth and Nail bands and a list of that ranks the MXPX albums. so it's clear that I'm guessing a lot of you are interested in Tooth and Nail Records as well. And honestly, it's an era, I guess, of Tooth and Nail. And I think Nadia and I both have respective eras that kind of define our interest in this label. But we're going to talk tonight. This is the topic. The best forgotten bands from Tooth and Nail Records. And I'm going to explain what that means as we get into it. But I think it's going to be a really fun discussion. And I'm so excited we're finally doing this, Nadia. Doesn't this make you feel just warm and happy that it's a all Tooth and Nail episode?
It really does. I'm going to be honest. I've been thinking about it all day. And yeah, I'm like listening to albums that I haven't listened to in a very long time.
Oh, me too.
And, just really getting back into it. And I was like, I was happy once. I found joy in this once.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is like, look, this is not like a relevant topic because it's been a while since this label was kind of, you know, in the moment and a big talking point in the scene. I mean, it's still an active label. I think Emery is actually still on the label. There's some bands there.
They hopped back on.
Yeah. But, you know, by and large, this label actually went through multiple different, I would say, decades of like really specific runs of sound. Like in the early, you know, mid to late 90s, it was the punk and ska stuff that was really kind of putting this label on the map. And then it transitioned into like the emo and hardcore stuff and by the early 2000s. And then they moved into kind of like an alt rock type of phase. There's been like multiple different periods that are really distinct for this label. But I thought, Nadia, maybe we could each talk about our entry point and maybe our sweet spot so the listeners kind of know where we're coming from. Because I think we might have a couple overlaps or maybe an overlap. But I think we're going to be different in a lot of ways too, because our time periods in which we were most following this label were probably a little bit different. So let's start with you. When was the time period for you where you were like locked in on what was happening with Tooth and Nail?
Well, for all intents and purposes, I am a child. So I'm going to say it was like maybe mid, like, I guess like the 2010s. For me was when, and I guess I'll talk about this when I talk about one of the specific bands. But it was when I was following it most religiously. Oh, wow. Is that like a pun about a Christian label?
Nice.
But what's funny is when I used to talk to my friends about it, like when I was a teenager and we would like go back and forth about who we were listening to. Everybody has a different like golden era of Tooth and Nail, I feel like, is what I've always called it. So the 2010s is mine. But like Jeremiah has the youngest of his family. And so he listened to a lot of the 90s stuff. And so he's really into ska. So I don't know. I just feel like everybody's got like a different, I guess, golden era of Tooth and Nail. So yeah, mine's probably like that mid 2000s, like 2007 to like 20, I'm going to say like maybe to 2014 is kind of where I drop off a little bit, I would say.
So mine is going to be, and I was trying to think this through, from 2003 to 2008 was the, like, I don't know, the heart and soul of my, like, from 2003 to 2008, I can tell you that I was buying almost everything this label put out. Like, if they signed a band, I was automatically into that band. Like, that's just what it was for me at that point. And of course, you know, early on for me, it was, you know, Anne Berlin, Emery, Under Oath, Showbread, He Is Legend. You know, there was just this run of, like, it just felt like band after band after band, Dead Poetic. And it was just a sound, that period of, like, kind of the sort of, you know, breakthrough Warped Tour screamo type sound was, like, my bread and butter at that point in time, which was basically kind of overlaps with all of my college experience and a little bit after. And then I would say probably 2009, 2010 is where I started to fade. Like, I was still kind of tertiarily interested in some of the bands, but by then a lot of the bands that I liked from that label had moved on and my tastes were changing. And also I wasn't really identifying as, you know, the, probably the key DMA for this label, which we should reference. I mean, as I'm sure you know, if you're listening to this and know who Tooth and Nail is, they're primarily known as a Christian label. Although it's funny because, like, even as I was going through and listening to this, like, it was that thing where, like, if you're on Tooth and Nail, it's like, oh, you're a Christian band. But, like, nobody was really expecting that every band on Tooth and Nail was, like, putting out music that felt like it was supposed to be on a Christian label or something. You know, there were so many bands that it was the whole, like, well, we're not a Christian band, but we're Christians and we're in a band or whatever.
Like, every time you read an interview from a Tooth and Nail band, it's automatically, so, like, what do you guys believe?
Yes.
And it's like, honestly, I just believe in making good music. Like, I'm just having fun. Like, yeah. And they all have the same answer. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a thing, but it's not the thing. Like, it's not why I'm here to, like, to be on this label. It just happens to, I feel like it is a big, like, entry point for a lot of bands. Like, I feel like there are a lot of bands who have jumped to the bigger labels now because of Tooth and Nail.
Yeah.
If you look at the list, I spent an ungodly amount of time on Wikipedia last night looking at the roster of Tooth and Nail. Like, a lot of these bands are still active, and they're just active in different places.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it was a big jumping off point for a lot of artists in that time, I feel like.
For sure. And it's amazing how, and again, going back to the different eras of the way this label was kind of impacting just the what was popular in terms of the sound. You know, MXPX was really one of the first, if not the first, breakout band from this label, and they were hugely influential in what pop punk ended up becoming. Under Oath was clearly a trend-setting band. Like, there were, you know, Anne Berlin. There were a lot of bands that came from this, and it wasn't just like it was a version of what was already happening. In a lot of ways, when Tooth and Nail was at its best, they were ahead of the curve in finding bands that were going to capture, like, that next wave of what was going to be popular in terms of sound, which I think is really cool.
And I really feel like they did, too.
Yeah, they did. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah, big time. Like, they didn't think that they were doing it, like, they actually were.
Yep. And so, what are we doing on this podcast? Well, I had this idea, because if you go to, like, you know, the old Tooth and Nail website, and it's funny, I went today and they still have the classic version, so you can look at the way the website used to look back in the day, which is really
fun.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's like a little link, and it says, view the classic site. That's the one I remembered, like, when I was in my dorm room in college. But anyway, there's just been a ton of freaking bands on this label over the years. And a lot of them you and I both listened to, but then they kind of just sort of faded into the ether and aren't still active, but we still like them. So for the purposes of the podcast, we're looking specifically at Tooth and Nail Records and one subsidiary, Solid State Records, which was basically the, you know, metal and hardcore subsect of bands for this. And we're identifying the bands that we feel were really good, but for whatever reason never clicked, like an Under Oath or an Anne Berlin. They never had their big moment where they broke through. And so part of the rules for this can't be just a band that's, I mean, there's all kinds of underground bands that never broke big, but they put out a ton of work and had a big following. We're talking specifically about bands on this label that had to put out three or fewer albums, and they lasted for a very short period of time. So it was almost like a, you know, maybe a 5 or 6 year period or less, and then they were gone and never heard from again. And so when we say forgotten, we're not trying to diss these bands. Certainly we remember them and we're talking about them and we're hoping that you will too, but that's kind of where we're coming from. And there's a specific band that this is the reason for the exercise for me. And I'll get into that in a moment, but Nadia, what was the experience like for you in sort of putting together your list?
So I went through the Wikipedia page and I just kind of listed all the bands that I was interested in talking about. And then I counted their albums and weeded them out through there, basically.
Yeah.
Like I just had to kind of cut it down. Cause I love me a Tooth and Nail band. And I feel like the bands, like the years that I was listening to Tooth and Nail have a lot of those bands. Like they have a lot of kind of very small flash in the pan bands, flash in the pans. Yeah. Yeah, like I just feel like none of them lasted for a long time, and not because they were good or bad or any kind of distinction like that, but just because of, I don't know, either the way like culture was moving quickly. And I mean, if we thought culture was moving quickly then, I mean, I would hate to look forward to the future and be like, oh my God, because it feels like people last for 1 second now,
right?
And like a collective attention span. So I feel like the fact that some of these bands do have like a couple of years of like popularity, notoriety, anything like that, it's pretty good. But yeah, I feel like I kind of fall in that category where I feel like a lot of these bands kind of sound the same to me, I guess, like when I think about it.
Yeah.
It's just what I was listening to at the time. It's not really for any particular reason.
Well, we'll see if we have some overlap. It was funny because as I was doing this, I still had, even though like I know this label inside now, I was still having moments of like, oh shit, I totally forgot about that band, which was like literally, and it's like, well, if that happened, that probably means they're a good fit for this. So it was really interesting. I had a lot of fun trying to figure it out. And we'll kind of go back and forth and share some of our bands. But I was texting you earlier. I was like, we could start a whole other podcast just about like all these Tooth and Nail bands and just do like an episode for each band and talk about the history and stuff. And I was like, you know, Tooth and Nail did a like they had their podcast, and we actually had Matt Carter from Emory. He was the host of it, came on our show to talk about all that. But they focused a lot on like a lot of the bigger bands and bigger moments that the label had, not kind of some of these other bands that you're kind of like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about those guys. So here we go. We're going to jump into it. We'll go back and forth. And I'm going to start with the band for me that is like literally the thing that originally got me thinking about this, because I'm the only person in my life that ever talks about this band. I talk about them to you. I tweet about them sometimes. And I'm always like, what the hell happened to Joan Zetta? So this band is really unique to Tooth and Nail because they got signed and put out their first album, Popularity, in 2006 on Tooth and Nail. And it was a bit like, if you think about like what other stuff was coming out of this label around that time, like 2006 is obviously Defying the Great Line for Under Oath. And there was like kind of that post hardcore emo, metalcore even sound that was sort of the trend at that period for Tooth and Nail. And then along comes this really weird, like electro pop indie rock type band that didn't seem to fit into what this label was putting out at all at the time. And I think that's a huge part of what actually held them back. But the fascinating thing is that they, there was a guy, Timothy Jordan, who was a member of the All American Rejects that joined this band early on as they were creating the first album. And they put out this EP that kind of like took off on the internet back around 2005, 2006, before Tooth and Nail got signed. And I remember reading that I think the signing bonus that Tooth and Nail gave out to get Joan Zetta was the biggest they'd ever paid out to get a band assigned to the label. So they really wanted these guys, which is really interesting because Popularity, that first album, is so damn good. I love it so much. It was like the perfect capture of like the dance rock sound that was just starting to pop with like the Killers around that time. But it was like they made it all their own. It was so cool. And for whatever reason, it didn't really make that much of a splash. 2 years later, they put out Cruel to Be Young, which was really not that type of sound at all. They changed their style to a little more just kind of like indie pop, indie rock. And then that was it. They didn't even, I don't even think they toured on that album. They just kind of vanished and disappeared. And that was it. And now nobody talks about them. So Nadia, I know you've heard me talk about Joan Zetta a lot. Are they a band that was it like ever on your radar in any way?
I was going to say, I listened to Cruel to Be Young kind of often.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say, I guess it's not like my most listened to, but yeah, I mean, I've listened to it a little bit. I don't listen to popularity a lot. Did you look at the playlist I sent you? That's a very weird personal, not involved with the podcast question. I have a playlist that's 25 hours long and it's called For Old Time's Sake and it's full of all of these nostalgic songs. And I'm going to tell you exactly right now, Get Ready Hot Machete is in there.
Yeah.
Great and track. And then Busybody and Cruel to Be Young are in there too. And I kind of feel like there was another one, but I can't remember it now. I don't see it here. But yeah.
You look at like the first six tracks here on popularity, Welcome Home, Killer. That was the big song that popped when they put out that EP. Get Ready Hot Machete, Communicate, Man in a 3K Suit. Oh my God, Backstabber. Like this album just goes so fucking hard. And so the other day I actually sent you a picture that I took with Robert Chisholm, who's the lead singer of this band, at a show in which he looks completely just so annoyed to be taking a picture with me. And this was back in the days where like it was pre-smartphone. I don't know if other people did this, but I would take like a disposable like Kodak camera to shows to like take pictures. Yeah, I know it was really weird, but I liked doing that. It's kind of like how I got into shooting photos at concerts.
I love that for you.
It's so weird. But yes, you know, sometimes you get to meet the band and you take a photo.
So true.
But the point being, this particular show was Anne Berlin. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. Daphne Loves Derby and Jonesetta. And I was so pumped to see Jonesetta. I was like, this place is going to go off. These songs are like so dancey. Like everybody's going to be partying. And it was just the most dead, silent, staring straightforward crowd you've ever seen in your life. And I'm like, they're like singing
That's
along,
terrible.
Like, looking around like, come on. And it was just, people were not into it at all. So it's totally possible that it's just a me thing, but I feel like there's a world in which Jonesetta signs with a label that's not Tooth and Nail, like maybe a label where they're not like as weird. Cause I don't know that the people that were into Tooth and Nail at the time into that sound, like if this lined up for them. I think there's another world in which it plays out differently and this band like has a long career and people know who they are, but that's not what happened and now they're kind of forgotten. So there you go.
I feel like they could have done well on Fueled By.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That is, yeah, you nailed it.
I mean, you've got 303 on Fueled By. I mean, I don't know. I just Gym Class Heroes.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, just like those kind of like funky pop bands with kind of alternative leanings. Yeah, I don't know, maybe they were on the wrong label.
I think that's 100% what it was. So Brandon Ebel paid a ton of money and then it didn't really work out. So there you go. That happens. All right, Hugo, what's first up on your list?
Okay, so I think, are we going with our big hard hitters?
I guess. By the way, I forgot to mention, I have 7 honorable mentions in addition
to God, I have so many.
It is unbelievable. But yeah, let's just go through our top 5 and then we'll get into the other stuff.
Okay. So if Jonesetta is the reason that you did this, Sent by Ravens is the reason I'm doing this.
I wondered.
No, you knew.
Yeah.
I love Sent by Ravens. I still love them. I listen to them all the time. So they did release 2 EPs. I think one was on Tooth and Nail, one was not. But then they released Our Graceful Words in 2010 and New Fire came out. And that was in like, again, 2010, it's like the height of my Radio U days. And that video came out and I said, ooh, what is this? And I just kind of followed them through their couple of years of Tooth and Nail time. I never saw them live. I was too young to go to shows at that point and they never really toured in the East. And then they released Mean What You Say in 2012. And I wrote about that for my site that I had very briefly for a couple of years. If I remember correctly, but yeah, they were just like one of those first post hardcore bands that I got into, that I was like, oh, like there's something else, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
So this is
like one of those weird bands.
This is interesting because Sent by Ravens was kind of the first band that was like a big Tooth and Nail flagship band at the time where I realized that we'd kind of Tooth and Nail and I had sort of parted ways, I guess. Like,
well, that makes me sad.
Yeah, I know. But this is that point of the divide, I think, in the eras in which you and I were
yes, 100%.
Attached to the label. That is the band that probably 100%. Stands as the the marking post of that.
That's wild. Why did you like call Sent by Ravens out for me? Because I talk about them often, or just because like...
No, you don't, you really don't talk about them often, but I think I think I knew what we just kind of defined. Like, to, again, to me, they are the band that marks the beginning of a new era for that label. And I feel like of that, or, you know, from 2010 to like 2015, because I remember it was a big deal that Tooth & Nail was really pushing them as like, hey, this is the band now. And so,
which is so weird because they only let them do two albums. So like, what was that about?
Yeah,
I'm going to get salty. I'm going to get salty about it because they were a great band.
Well, yeah, I guess I didn't realize until we were doing this whole thing, because I was looking at their Wikipedia page as well, and I didn't realize they only had two albums. I guess in my mind, they had like way more than that. So
yeah, but they're hard hitting albums, dude. They're hard hitting. Have you listened to them recently?
No, it's been a while.
Can you go back and do that just for me?
I'll give it a shot.
So I just felt like they were so authentic. Like, I don't know, there was something about them that I listened to them and I was like, I don't know, they just like really resonated with me lyrically. It wasn't even the post-hardcore thing, because at that time I was trying to be cooler than all my friends. They were all listening to like One Direction and stuff, and I'm like, I'm listening to freaking Sent by Raven, so. like awesome. You know, I had friends who liked hardcore stuff, and I was pretending to listen to wicked hardcore stuff because I wanted to be cool. But yeah, I like really fell in with the post-hardcore vibes of some of those bands that they were like pushing at those times. But in 2012, the Mean What You Say album, when it came out, they slammed Westboro Baptist Church in that album. Like, they talked about it in interviews, they talked about like all this stuff about like why, you know, like why we're preaching one thing and not doing the right thing and whatever it was. And I just like wonder if those like sort of liberal leanings at that time kind of led to their end. Like, Tooth & Nail kind of was like, oh my god, actually these people are progressive, oh my god, we gotta get these guys out of here. I don't know if that's true.
Man, that seemed,
but yeah, you didn't hear anything out else about them ever after that.
Yeah, that's,
and they seemed like pretty rad guys. So I don't know. But yeah, so then I guess in 2018 they started releasing music sort of again. Not really. It's like Sent by Ravens Light, but it's not very good. I don't mean this. Please, Sent by Ravens, don't hate me. It's called Brave Future. but yeah, they've only released like a couple of songs a year in the past couple of years. But yeah, that was it. Like, we got two really good, like, solid classic post-hardcore albums, and then they were just like, well, bye, see you later.
Yeah.
And I miss them.
Well, so those are our two big ones, I would assume, for you and I, and then we've, you know,
oh, yeah,
and then it goes from
there. We can end the pod here if we want.
Well, my next one is my second biggest. Like, if Jones Ed is number one with a bullet, this one is definitely number two, and it's Search the City. And they dropped their one and only album on Tooth & Nail, A Fire So Big the Heavens Can See It, in 2008, which I marked as being kind of the end of my, you know, sweet spot with Tooth & Nail. And that album, I listen to it regularly. I go back to it, and every single time I do, it hits so effing hard. Like, it's just like it's that perfect encapsulation of the whole, like, pop punk easycore thing that was just about to kind of blow up at that time period. And of course we had all these other bands like the 4 Year Strongs and the Wonder Years. Like, it was right at that moment before that sound was like totally gonna be a thing. And maybe that's why this album didn't hit very big for a lot of people. I don't really know, but man, it's just it's 10 songs, 30 minutes, and every song is a banger. And it's so freaking good. The other problem is the lead singer was either kicked out of the band or left the band not long after they recorded this. And then like 6 years later, they like popped up out of nowhere with a new lead singer and did like a, trying to remember, they did like a crowdsourcing thing for people to raise money to record another album, which they did and put it out, called Flight. And it was pretty good. The guy that they found does a pretty good imitation of the original lead singer, but it wasn't anywhere near as good as this first album was. But yeah, I never saw him live. I have no idea how much they even toured. Nobody ever talks about him. And there you go. I don't know. That album was kind of perfect to me. Have you ever listened to them?
I was just going to say, whoop, there it is. Okay, because guess who's my number two?
Wow.
Search the City.
I didn't know. We've never talked about
that. No, I knew it. That is who I knew was going to be the dupe. I knew it. I 100% called it.
So why have we never talked about
it? I called it. I don't know. I feel like we have. I definitely think that we have. I actually liked Flight. I know it's not the same lead singer, and I know it's not Tooth and Nail, but I listen to it often. They took it off Spotify every once in a while. Like, every once in a while, it'll pop back up. Okay, see? We're definitely on the same Search the City page. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so what's your favorite song from A Fire So Big?
Oh, hold up. Let me look at the track listing. You know what? I was going to start asking you, what are your favorite songs off of all of these albums? And you know what?
Mine is Ambulance Chaser. Ambulance Chaser has one of the best choruses I have ever heard in my life, and I'm not exaggerating.
So The Rescue is the one that got me into the album.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. I love Son of a Gun, and I love Clocks and Timepieces. Clocks and Timepieces, yes. I listen to all the time.
Oh, God, that song is so good. All the time. And it's a perfect album closer. Like, it's just the perfect song to close out an album. And it's awesome because that was on their EP that they were kind of, like, shopping around when they were trying to get signed. Man. What a great album.
Good album.
Yeah. I mean, what's our theory? Why didn't that work? What?
I don't know. It's just not fair. Some of these things are just not fair. That's really what it comes down to. I really just think it's not fair. So if we think about 2008, hold up, Tooth and Nail, I'm typing discography. I'm going to go look at what was coming out.
Oh, you can see like everything that came out on a certain year.
Oh yeah, bestie. Oh yeah. I'm a real Wikipedia aficionado. So
bands I think about from that time, The Fold.
Yeah.
Sullivan.
Oh, yeah. I was going to put The Fold on my list, actually.
I've got them as an honorable mention.
Oh, my God. Wow. We do love Tooth and Nail.
We do.
Okay. So number one Gun released that year. Ivory Line, Great White Whale came out from Secret and Whisper. I mean, I just feel like there were a lot of Anorexia Nervosa came out. The Showbread header situation. Survive Kaleidoscope came out from Under Oath. Silver Cord came out. Dance or Die came out from Family Force 5. Lost in the Sound of Separation came out in September. Yeah, correct. Exactly. Perfect. You Are My Sunshine came out from Copeland. Yeah, I mean, 2008 was just pretty big. You know,
it really was. Man, you just like rattled off like...
Dude, I love 2008. I love 2008. While Broken Hearts Prevail by Emery, out. Okay. Oh, you know what's so funny? You know what released in 2008? Remember that band that I told you about the other day, The Becoming?
Yeah.
That album was 2008 too. I didn't realize weird. That. Ah, 2008, good times.
Man,
I was barely here, but
there were some
good.
Classics in 2008.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
not giving 2008 enough credit in my mind.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, yeah, maybe they just got swallowed up by everything else that was coming out.
And it's very sad because they should have.
Okay, so we both had Search the City as our second. My third is the one that I thought we were going to dupe, and I'm about to say it, and you'll tell me if we duped or not. And this is a weird one, Nadia. This one is so weird. But there are another band that pops in my mind when I think about this conversation. And then there were none.
Oh my God. I almost did it and I didn't put them in there. I didn't put them in there. But
so
I listen to them all the time.
Another band that put out one album, Who Speaks for Planet Earth. They had one kind of, it's a stretch to call it a hit single, but they had a single from that album. It's a really good song, and it was like on all their compilations that Tooth and Nail was putting out around that time. But they were another band that was like, wait, this band is on Tooth and Nail? It was like very like techno, dancey. It was kind of like, you know, basically it's like, hey, now there's Metro Station and like these emo bands that are like, you know, playing songs that get played at a club, and now we have one, and they're called And Then There Were None. But for it did not, if Jonesetta didn't catch on, this band did not even, I can't even imagine,
not even a little
how
bit.
This went. So I can't name any of the people in the band. I don't know who they toured with or whatever went on with that, but it was one flash in the pan moment. But that album is still pretty dang fun, I feel like. And again, just another thing where it's like, if they're on a different label, maybe it's totally different.
Yeah, I don't know what the label would be for them.
Yeah.
Is that mean?
I mean, am I weird for picking them?
No, because when they reunited in 2019 and they played shows, I wanted to go.
Oh, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, no, it was very brief. It didn't really happen great. But I, for some reason, I saw, maybe Radio U posted it or something. I just cracked my knuckles on mic, which is not professional. My apologies. Yeah, I don't know.
Did people like this band?
They didn't do anything. I don't think so. I'm going to be straight up with you. I don't think so. Okay. Whenever I would mention them and I was like, oh my gosh, you guys listen to like freaking remembering reinventing Robert Cohn or whatever that song was. Nobody was with me on that. Except for you, but for years and miles apart.
Yeah. Well, yeah. C'est la vie. It was fun while it lasted, which was about as long as the album is. Yeah. They're fun.
And then there were none. And by none, we mean albums.
Right. All right. Sorry. Who's next for you?
For me, it's going to be... Hold up. I'm scrolling too far. Neon Horse.
Interesting.
I know. That's my shocker. That's my shocker.
Tell me more.
So, okay. I don't listen to Stave Zaker and I don't listen to Starflyer 59. I dabbled in Project 86. I love Neon Horse.
Interesting.
I don't know what. I don't know why. Do you remember when Tooth and Nail had the original podcast? It was just marketing. They would play like a minute and a half of new songs that were coming out. And then they would like talk about the bands and they were like, you got to listen to this new album that's coming out. And so I listened to a bunch of them. I think I had all of them downloaded onto my iPod Nano, which was orange and small and so cute. So they were on that podcast and I didn't like it at first. I thought it was super weird. But they're off-putting and it's on purpose. And as the years have gone on, I'm just like, I love them. I listen to that first album from them, the self-titled, all the time. Haunted Horse, I don't go back to as much, but Neon Horse self-titled, I listen to often.
I didn't realize that was a second album.
Barely. That's it. 2009, 2007 and 2009.
So here's what because this band does fall within that sweet spot era for me. And here's what I remember. Being excited because I like Stave Zaker. I love Project 86. Like I was like excited for this project.
Wait, you like Project 86?
Yeah. And I was excited when I heard they were doing this. And then I took one listen to it and I was like, oh, what is this? Like
I'm sorry.
It just did not click for me at all. And I haven't gone back since that was. So maybe I need to give it another try, but it didn't do much for me.
My biggest time with them was kind of in the, I don't really know how to say it. You know, like kind of like my Zooey Deschanel era, like my quirky girl era, but like in a goth way. Like I was, I don't know, like kind of like Sherry from Isley. You know how she's kind of like kind of creepy, but also like perfectly chill and nice. Like she just kind of gives off like weird vibes. But like fun weird, I don't know. That's where I was at. And it wasn't successful for me as a personality trait. I'm getting really, really transparent on the podcast. It's Tooth and Nail's fault. I get this way every time we talk about Tooth and Nail. It just really brings me back. Neon Horse was like just weird enough, but like also still listenable where I was like, oh yeah, I'm cool. I'm listening to post-punk. I don't know, whatever it's, I don't think it's anything. I don't really know what it is. But yeah, it was good stuff. Well, it was cool.
Before we move on, we have to both name our best or our favorite Project 86 album.
Oh, album?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to hate me.
I don't know. Mine's Songs to Burn Your Bridges By.
Oh, because mine's not.
Oh, okay.
Hold up. Let me think about this.
I mean, they've got a lot of albums.
Yeah, they do. That's why they're not on this list. So we're really... We're breaking the rules. Let me think about it. I'm looking at the album art. Is that stupid?
Art. I always thought that.
So it's either going to be Rival Factions or Picket Fence Cartel.
Yeah.
Again, that's what I like the 2007, 2009 stuff.
Yep. Makes sense.
They're bad now, though. Sorry, Project 86. You guys kind of suck now.
All right. So I'm starting to get nervous because that was the band that I most thought that you were going to pick. I intentionally didn't pick because I was like, Naughty, this one's going to belong to Naughty and you still haven't named him. So okay, we'll see what happens here. But I'm starting to get nervous that you're not going to
pick one that I'm going to wish. Like I told you at the beginning of all this, very specific set of genres, very much not what I listen to these days at all. Like it's kind of a toss up. None of this makes sense. Except for maybe Sent by Ravens.
Well, my next one is Waking Ashland. They put out two albums. First one, and the one that I, probably enjoyed the most, Composure, came out in 2005, I believe. And they were led by this guy, Jonathan Jones. And they were very much like not really the type of music that I was into back around that time. But they were so dang catchy. His voice was great. It was like this kind of piano rock type of band, which is really weird to say that like the guy that was like, you know, so into Under Oath was like also listening to this band. But I just, they were so catchy and so good and so fun. And they had songs that could make you cry. And I don't know, it just, it was fun. Now, the interesting thing with them is that they broke up and that guy, the singer, Jonathan Jones, went on to form another band called We Shot the Moon, which I think was like way more popular than Waking Ashland was. And I could be totally wrong about that, but at least in my memory, We Shot the Moon felt like a band that a lot more people were into, even though it was kind of not that different from Waking Ashland. But yeah, Waking Ashland at the time, they were one of the bands that stuck out from the like bands that surrounded them on Tooth and Nail at the time. But I feel like people liked them, but now you don't really hear people talk about them at all. And I'm saying all this knowing that it mostly predates your interest in Tooth and Nail and Nadia, but is that a band you've listened to?
I don't think I've ever listened to any of their songs. I'm really sorry. I feel okay. Very sad now.
They've got a really great video for the song called I Am You, which was a thing that people would do at the time where it was like a video about making the video. And special. It's like, yeah, but it's like really clever in the way that it does it. But it's also a great song, so you should check it out. All right.
Okay.
You're up.
Number four is Queen's Club.
Okay.
Anything. I know. Like, I'm telling you, man, none of this is supposed to make sense, because I walked back into the mind of 2010 Nod, and here we are. This is where we're standing, at the door of Queen's Club. One album. That's it. Young Giant in 2010. They released a couple of EPs after that, but I never listened to them. I only ever listened to the album. Did you know that Queen's Club was actually The Chariot?
Yes, I did know that.
Yes. Okay. So it's The Chariot, but like the most different.
Yeah. And another thing where it's like, oh, I like the people involved with this. I'm going to like this. And then I listened to it and I was like, what is this? Don't. Like the Neon Horse and Queen's Club are the two literally best examples I can give of that type of thing happening in my life.
I'm so glad I could help you with this. I don't know. Did you know that? Do you know my favorite band that's not Tooth and Nail? My other favorite band, Gleamer. They have a side project called Seer Believer, and they sound exactly the same. So, like, I feel like the goal of a side project should be something that you like would never do normally.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
But anyway, also sometimes
that's
something
that's a real side thing.
I mean, there's like, here's a good example of a Tooth and Nail side project: FM Static. But FM Static. Correct. I liked 1,000-Foot Crutch at the time, and I also liked FM Static, and they were both very different. These are
I like
the things
FM
from
Static
me.
Better.
Yeah, you could probably talk me into that.
Okay.
Yeah, Queen's Club couldn't do it. Sorry. Didn't get it.
Okay, so again, here's the time in my life when I wasn't allowed. I was strongly discouraged from listening to anything that sounded very difficult to understand. Okay, we'll go with that. We'll call it that. My dad was really strict on the music that I was able to listen to. And even though all of these bands, like we were saying at the beginning, interview, we're Christians, we love God. The fact that we weren't playing it in church was like enough for my dad to be like, well, you should listen to better music, more theologically sound music.
Nothing more theologically sound than Queen's Club, that's for sure.
Nothing more theologically sound than Queen's Club and or Neon Horse. But yeah, he went through my iTunes library. I don't think I've ever talked about this. He went through my iTunes library and made me delete things that he deemed not appropriate. And a lot of that were, yeah. Oh, it's fine. It's chill. It's so chill. We're so over it. We laugh about it all the time.
That's rough.
It's fine. It is what it is. So Queen's Club was in that list. All of these bands were in that list, weren't they? Even though Sent by Ravens, if you want to talk about theologically sound, I'm really on a tangent. Anyway, Queen's Club, pop. So I was like, it was pretty safe for the most part. In 2010, again, in my Radio U days, they really seemed to vibe with Queen's Club. I feel like they played them every other song. So I was exposed to them a lot. I had just started writing for my own site at that time, and I started listening to like back catalogs and paying attention to their new stuff. like that they were putting out. So I got into Queen's Club those couple of years, Rocky Loves Emily, Capitol Lights, like all those bands.
Right.
Yeah. So like, I don't know, that was like my hyper pop era, we'll call it.
All right. So we each have one band left. And I have to say that if your fifth band is not the band that I thought was going to be your number one band, it's not.
It's not. I don't know who. I have no clue who you're talking about, but I know it's not them.
Nadia, there's a specific band that fits this category so well that I know you were so into. And it's probably the band, like if we picked, we talk about this band so much. And if you didn't pick them.
It's going to be in my honorable mentions, probably.
But this band should not be in anybody's honorable mentions because they're so good. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it's probably not in like my personal honorable mentions. It's just like in my list honorable mentions. They're different.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. I'm just saying, because if you don't have that band fifth, it would have been on my list. But now I feel like I'm leaving them off.
Oh, now you have to say it.
Yeah, because I will. No, okay. I'm just going to hold out hope that the fifth band you have is the band that I'm thinking of.
Oh, you're going to wait. Make me wait. Okay.
So I have Terminal, How the Lonely Keep. And another band that put out one album, and it felt like there could have been so much more to come from this band. It's just kind of like straight up, like, I think they put out this album in, 2005. It was the sound that was the thing then, of kind of that post-hardcore emo sound. It was really good. I saw them on tour. So get this lineup, Nadia. This is one of the craziest shows I've ever been to. It was the Green Door in Oklahoma City.
Oh, sickening.
Anne Berlin. Seosin, Acceptance. What was that band's name? I'm gonna have to come back to them, but Terminal was the opener, and they were awesome. But that night was so loaded with like all these other bands that it was like, you know, a footnote of a great night of music. But Terminal was a band that I felt at that period, like if you told me, like, hey, is this band just going to release one album and be done? Or is this band going to put out like five albums over 10 years and be kind of a scene staple? I would have said that. And then they just weren't. They were done. They went away. And to be fair, the members joined two other notable bands or formed two other notable bands, Alive and Wild Paint and more notably O Sleeper, which was a metalcore band signed to Solid State. So it's not like these were talented dudes that clearly went on to form other talented bands, but for whatever reason, Terminal just didn't work out. So there you go.
So I'm looking at Terminal's Wikipedia page. Is this podcast sponsored by Wikipedia?
Yes.
Because that's about what it seems like. I am seeing Seosin. I'm seeing He Is Legend. I'm seeing the Juliana Theory, who once roasted me on Twitter. Juliana Theory.
Oh, no.
Cartel?
Yeah.
The working title, Code 7. Yesterday's
Code
7,
that's the other band.
That's who it was. Okay, I found it for you. Yay. Thank you. Thanks, Wikipedia, for sponsoring this episode. No, I've never listened to them. Do you think I would like them? Question.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll go listen to
the
album.
Give them a try.
Okay.
It sounds like 2005 emo is what it sounds like, because that's what it is. So.
Oh, fair enough. All right.
All right. Fingers crossed
you're gonna make me say it and it's not gonna be them, because I've already mentioned the band.
Who is it?
Capitol Lights.
Okay. I'm gonna let you talk about Capitol Lights, but what happened here? How did you not mention Secret and Whisper
here? I thought we've already talked about them so much. I didn't want to put Secret and Whisper on my list.
Just because you and I talk about them doesn't mean we can't mention them on this podcast.
Didn't we do a whole podcast about them? I thought we did. Maybe did we didn't. Oh, no. Did I miss something?
We just talk about them so much, it probably feels like we have. But like,
because
look,
it's a good band.
If you're talking about a band that put out three or less albums on Tooth and Nail Records and nobody talks about, but they were so amazing, Secret and Whisper is that band. Okay. Let's talk about Capitol Lights and then let's talk about Secret
and
Whisper.
It was wrong of me. Can I talk about Secret and Whisper instead of Capitol Lights?
No, do Capitol Lights and then we'll come back.
Okay. I can't believe you're mad at me on pod. Okay. They did two albums. Only the first one's good. That's the thing.
Yes, I agree.
And I don't know why that's on my list for that reason. But so then they were a hardcore band and then they weren't, because Tooth & Nail didn't want another hardcore band. So they got a new vocalist and they just decided to switch it up. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Weird. Come to me for your Tooth & Nail lore.
Interesting.
Okay.
That so one album, This Is an Outrage, had like the goofiest artwork I've ever seen.
It was good though. Hold up. I'm going to look at it right now.
I mean, it's
now.
Definitely it something it's you cute. See and it jumps off the shelf when you saw it. It
was dude, like, it was whoa. 2008. What do you mean? Everything looked like this in 2008. Have you seen an Asking Alexandria shirt from 2008?
Yeah, you are
people,
right.
Like,
you're right.
Like vomiting.
You're right.
All
right.
I will not accept criticism.
I'm not anyway, criticizing. I'm just making note that it was a very memorable
I think
album
it's cool.
Cover.
We've got candles and we've got LEDs and we've got grass and balloons and wood and cloud. I'm going to say cloud. Cloud. Yeah. Anyway, so his favorite Christmas story is the first Christmas song I listened to in the season.
Mm,
and that's okay. Why it made my list. Because yeah. Of This Is an Outrage, obviously, because great, great, like, pop rock album. But also, I love his favorite Christmas story. You don't?
No, it's fine.
It's fine. Okay, it's
there's
fine.
A, I mean, that's there's right. A lot of, like, Christmas Tooth and Nail compilations, and there's just, like, other yeah, but songs from all those that I prefer, I guess.
Not like his favorite Christmas story, though. Anyway, Outrage is just one of those classic ones. But then, again, back to my own personal site. I wrote about Rhythm and Moves when it came out. But I don't think I liked it, and I never listened to it. But yeah, they've stuck around in my heart and in my mind. So,
Now we have to talk about the... So this is fine, because now we can do like, all right, we just did five, and now the band that is most, like, important in this conversation, Secret and Whisper.
Well, now I feel like it was Secret and Whisper, so it doesn't matter. The whole list can be wiped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why didn't... Has anybody ever figured out why it didn't work for Secret and Whisper? Like, why... I mean, they put out two albums. Great White Whale, I know, was one for you and I both. And you wrote about it for the
I did, the and I think that's why I didn't put them on my list.
But why didn't this band explode? Why is there only two albums?
They're very niche. I really feel like that's it. I just feel like it's one of those things where it just wasn't, there wasn't a big enough audience for it.
I don't know.
Because they weren't quite hardcore. They weren't like hard yeah. enough where we're moshing, you know?
Right.
But like, it's also too hard for me to be like, hey, listen to this sick track. And then it's just like Charles singing the highest note you've ever heard possible. And people are like, what is wrong with you?
So
and you're like, no, what's wrong with you, actually?
Yeah. Here's the thing. You're literally describing Seosin, like one of the most formative and important bands of the scene. And maybe it's because people felt like they were too much of a knockoff. That's like all I could ever think.
Is I've never listened to like... Seosin.
Well, if you like Secret and Whisper, I've got good news for
that's
you. You're about
true.
To find out. You're about to
you
find
did this
next
with Bad
band.
Omens. Okay, you said if you like Bad Omens, you're going to like Bring Me the Horizon. And I don't like Bring Me the Horizon.
Right,
so I don't
well,
know if how I'm going to feel about Seosin.
Seosin is a lot
in the words
than
of another Tooth and Nail band. No, actually, Lydia was not on Tooth and Nail. Never mind. I'm holding my joke.
But yeah, I don't know. So the conversation you and I have had most often about Secret and Whisper is that you liked their sophomore album, Teenage Fantasy, which is the last album they put out.
So good.
I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't hate it. I just I just liked Great White Whale so much that Teenage Fantasy felt like a letdown for me. But the other day, like I'm literally doing dishes and I'm like, what am I going to listen to? I put on Great White Whale and I swear to God, like a minute into You Are Familiar, like I have to like step away from the sink because I'm crying. Like this
it's good.
It's so good. And it's funny because Charles, the singer, like has this other side project he's working on now, which I cannot think of the name of it, but somebody told me about it and I was looking it up on, it's on Spotify. So I'll have to see if I can find that. But anyway, Secret and Whisper, two albums, poof, gone. See you later. And that's a shame.
It's very sad, but actually they are back on Instagram, so I really want to say that they're going to do something. I don't know if that's true. That's from 2022, so it's been a couple of years now.
To add to the one last thing on the Seosin Secret and Whisper connection is that after Seosin originally kicked out Cove Reber in 2010, it was rumored that they were working with Charles and that he was going to be the next lead singer, and then it never happened. And nobody ever really knows if that was like just made up or if there was actually truth to that, but he would have been like an obvious, perfect person to sing in that band. But
that would have been pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have liked Seosin if they did that.
You don't know that you don't.
Oh, God. why don't you like Teenage Fantasy?
It just doesn't have the bite that Great White Whale does. I mean, it's a good album. It just feels like they softened all the edges to the band. It's almost like,
yeah, but in like a good way.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just how I feel.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
It's okay.
Yeah, I know. Well,
you know, Jeff Schneewise is featured on Teenage Fantasy, right?
No,
the number one gun guy.
Oh,
I know that now. Well, sorry, because I'm reading the Wikipedia page.
Another special little tidbit.
Nobody's going to want to listen to this podcast because all I do is read Wikipedia on air. Anyway.
Well, we did this. I'm going to rattle off my list. Exhaustive list of honorable mentions that almost made the cut.
Oh, I kept it too short. I kept it short because I knew you were going to keep it long.
Here are my 7 honorable mentions. The Fold. Sullivan. Sullivan, to me, I feel like they aren't forgotten. I feel like a lot of people still like that band. I could be wrong, but Cover Your
Eyes.
They're
hit or miss for me.
It's a classic. To Speak of Wolves, they were on Solid State. They had Phil Chamberlain, Spencer's brother.
I almost put them on my list.
Gwen Stacy, another one that it probably isn't fair to call them forgotten because they were like a big buzz band before they got signed and a lot of people talked about them. They've got obviously a really memorable name. Inhale Exhale, another metal band on Solid State. They were formed by the Brian Pittman, the bass player from Reliant K, after he left them. And then Run Kid Run, which you and I texted about earlier. And this one, you're going to love this one, Nadia. This was my first cross off, the first one that didn't make the list. The Send. You remember this? Joseph Kisselberg from Falling Up. He was their guitarist. Them. And then he left Falling Up and did this album on Tooth and Nail. He just put out one album and it was really good. So
he definitely did put out one album. It was definitely released.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, it's fine. It's average. I mean, it's good.
To me, it's almost like if Falling Up was like less interesting. Which I realize I'm not making a great case for it.
Not in a mean way, but just in a way.
Yeah. But I still liked it.
He was like, Jesse, can we add less pizzazz to this album that you've crafted with your hands? And Jesse was like, no, get lost. And he said, okay, I'll do it myself.
I don't know. There's the song, An Epiphany, that was like the single from that album. I listened good to song. It today and I was like, man, this is good.
It's a good song. I listen to it often too.
What were yours?
Okay, my honorable mentions, we've talked about them, are Fair, Run Kid Run, Number One Gun, Ruth. Do you remember Ruth?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Sweet little band. We love them. Back to the Five is such a good song.
That's interesting.
It's so sweet. It's just so sweet. And then there's a band that is still active, and I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that. Are we?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, they're still releasing music technically. They're signed right now. But nobody talks about them, and it's not fair. The only person who talks about them is me, and that's Off-Road Minivan.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't realize that was a Tooth and Nail band. I only know about them because of you.
You're welcome. They're very good. They're very, very good. And actually, they're a side project. Hold up. I didn't write this down, guys.
They don't their own Wikipedia page.
Brutal. No, because they're so new. They're you such sweet little baby angels. Tonight. Wow. I should. Hold up. I'm still scrolling. There are a lot of bands on Tooth and Nail. Wow.
Yeah, so they can't count because they haven't had a chance to be forgotten.
Yeah, but
they're still writing their story.
Yeah, but nobody talks about them ever. I forget who. Fit for a King. Fit for a King, I want to say, is their spinoff situation. Spinoff, what am I talking about? And then actually the other band that I really want to talk about is The Ongoing Concept. I haven't talked about any metal at all. Ongoing Concept is one of the most underrated and interesting like hardcore bands that Tooth and Nail did.
Interesting.
Did you listen to
I don't
them?
Know who that is.
Oh, my. See? Exactly.
Oh, here they are.
Exactly.
So they're signed currently.
Yeah, they got back on the label. So they were done and then they got back. They were on hiatus and then they came back and now they're touring again.
Okay, so they're not forgotten.
They're on Solid State now. No, well, no, they didn't forget themselves, and neither did I.
There you go. All right. Wow. We just talked for almost an hour about all the bands that Tooth and Nail that nobody liked enough to have them keep putting music out. Hopefully there's a cross-section of people out there that are interested in random Tooth and Nail bands as us, because that was a lot of fun to talk about.
That was great. I have one more thing to talk about.
Oh, yes, the bonus topic.
This is, yeah. This is like, the fact that this is at the end, very on brand for Tooth and Nail, but I don't think it's on purpose. Where are the women?
Yeah, I know.
Where are the women? I don't want to be like, as a woman, I just like really feel it. Where are the women?
You're right. It's okay. Brutal.
Icon for hire, gone. Independent. Poema, gone. States, gone. Gone. There's not one woman signed to the label right now. Not a lead singer, not a bandmate, not a solo. Nothing.
I mean, look, if Tooth and Nail's heyday was during the Scene heyday, I mean, you're talking dude city. And if you scroll through, look, there's, 100 bands listed on this Wikipedia page?
Yeah.
It's tough. And to be honest with you, where are they at here?
You can count them
real quick. Because I literally almost talked about, is it Element 101? They
never heard of them.
They went on to form, the woman that was the lead singer of that group went on to start Action Reaction with Jason Gleason from Further Seems Forever.
Oh.
Yeah, Element 101. But I remember specifically the old Tooth and Nail site, and there's like, you know, you're scrolling down the list of the artists and she's like the only woman on the whole website. You know, it's just
men. And yeah. I'm not saying it's fine, I guess. I don't know. I'm not like trying to make a thing. I'm really not.
No, it is a thing.
But like it's a thing. The fact that I'm going through, the fact that I almost put Bon Voyage on this list. Have you ever listened to them?
Yes.
Yep. It feels like because Jason Martin was doing so much for the label, they were like, yeah, she can come hang out too.
Yeah.
Like, where is the, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. It made me feel, I was looking at everything and it just kind of made me feel sad.
Halo Friendlies, another one we got to mention, late 90s pop punk. They were pretty good, toured with MXPX, I think. But yeah.
I don't know.
What happened to Poema, by the way? I was thinking about that today. I felt like they were going to be big and then, so here we go. They could have been on there. Yeah.
I was a very big fan of them. They came out and I said, oh my God, wait, no way. And they were like so chill and like acoustic. And I was like, this is great stuff. They kind of turned into like a synth pop vibe too in like 2013. And that was pretty good. One of the girls is married now and has kids. And then the other, I think they still go by their name L. They tour now. They've toured with Maggie Rogers. They've toured with, oh my gosh, who have they toured with? I follow them on Instagram. I see all of the tour pictures all the time. But yeah, they're a touring musician.
Okay.
So, well,
there
yeah.
There you go. Well.
R.I.P. Poema. You guys were good.
Thanks, Poema. No thank you, Tooth and Nail, for literally having like correct. Five women on
okay,
the label.
Okay, Brandon Evil? More like Brandon years. Evil.
Well,
that's
yeah,
not, don't, people, please do not do that. It's just a joke.
There's some people that probably wouldn't argue too hard.
It's just
that,
a joke.
But,
it's just a joke.
Just joking around.
Just joshing.
Yeah. This was fun. Good stuff.
Great times.
If you liked it, come to itsalldead.com. Follow us on your social media platform of choice. I'm going to actually be sharing some fun Tooth and Nail memories on our X account. That's Twitter for all of you people that.
Ew, why are you saying it like that? Don't say
I don't
X.
Know.
Gross.
Yeah, I know. Well, because I don't. Everybody still says Twitter, right? Nobody says X.
It's the same thing.
But I'm worried that like other people are starting to say X now and I'm not. Then I get nervous.
I should have talked about the almost. We're getting back into this and we have to wrap it up. I should have talked about the
forgotten.
Almost. Because I do not count the 2019 album as part of them. People forget about their good songs, they only remember their Under Oath ones.
Well, this was good. Nadia, thank you for joining, as always.
Yay.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Long Live the Music. I'm Kyle Hawk, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening to Long Live the Music. If you like our show, come find us on Twitter and Facebook @It's All Dead. And of course, come visit our website, itsalldead.com.